Welcome to another exciting episode of the Business of Digital podcast, featuring your hosts, Matt Siltala and Dave Rohr. Everybody, excited to bring this podcast to you today. I love having guests on, but this is a longtime friend of mine from way back in the marketing day, and we won't talk about how long ago. But we have Scott Cowley as a guest. And before I really get into what we're going to talk about, I just want to let you know who it is that we're talking with today. And so he is an award-winning digital marketing and social media professor at Haworth College of Business at Western Michigan University. And I actually knew him back when he was doing all kinds of marketing at different places across Utah. And before he earned his PhD at Arizona State University, he did lots of different in-house jobs, and he specializes in affiliate marketing, advising, doing executive training on special digital marketing and social media topics. And the thing that I love the most is he is actually teaching kids real information, not meta keyword type stuff. And so thank you, Scott, for being a guest on the show. And also we have Dave here. Hi, guys.
I am here.
Hey, good to be here. Thanks.
So one of the things that, we wanted you on the show because you actually started a really good conversation on Twitter at the beginning of the year. And I'm going to go back to that. And you said, hey, guys, you said it's 2018 and I'm teaching starting next week. What should today's digital marketer be expected to know / have experience with coming out of college if they want to stand out? Now, you asked that while I was on vacation, so I apologize. I did not answer it, but I come and I turn on Twitter and I see this flood of just amazing and different responses from everybody. And the next thing I know, Dave's calling me up saying, hey, we're going to have Scott on. So that's going to be my contribution. So you don't have to hate me for not replying, Scott. But that's why we wanted to bring you on, and we wanted to talk about that. And so I guess maybe just kick it off by telling us, what were the answers surprising? What did you get from it? Kind of just, give us your feelings and we'll just kick it off and take it from there.
Okay, thanks. So, I really care about making sure I'm getting industry perspectives when it comes to how I create my classes and what things we cover. And hey, more than anything, I want at the end of the school year, I want my students to feel like it was that everything in the course was extremely relevant, right? That everything I'm telling them is exactly what they're going to run into in their jobs or in their interviews for jobs or in job descriptions, right? That I'm not I'm not teaching something that's 10 years old, right?
That is what I love more than anything.
Well, it's not an easy task, right? I mean, and part of it is that, hey, everything in digital is changing so rapidly that you have to have systems in place for staying caught up. And at the same time, it's kind of like I felt in SEO is like, yeah, everything's changing, but at the same time, it's not really changing, right? And right. So it's an opportunity for me to just gauge and see, okay, are things actually changing from year to year? I mean, I said, hey, 2018, is this any different today than it would have been in 2016 or
the year of mobile, the year of video? Oh, wait. Sorry, Brian.
Mobile first.
But so, I mean, it's like I liked that I had a bunch of different people talking about, I guess, what would be a mixture of hard skills and soft skills, right? So, hard skills that weren't being mentioned 2 or 3 years ago would be things like video, right? Right. People want to see some experience that you could throw together, a short clip, whether it's for content marketing or whether it's for trying to sell people on the business's services and expertise, right? So that's something that is going to be new to me, right? I didn't have to do a whole lot of video in my digital career, and now it's a thing. And students need to know how to not only create something that's interesting, how to create it in bite-sized portions, how to optimize it for YouTube or optimize the pages that video is going to be on the website. So something like that is now a piece that I just decided to add as a result of that conversation. It's like, okay, we're gonna test some stuff out, and I already have our.
That's awesome.
I talked to our university's video production specialist last week, so he's going to come in and talk to my class, and we'll just try and figure out, hey, what apps or free tools or resources we've got that we can do stuff with. And I'm not expecting perfection, right? But I know, right. Hey, it's all about figuring out, hey, what's the baseline norm for what students are learning, and how can I go beyond that and help my students be more competitive, right? And sometimes that just means experimenting and testing things out that we don't have a great formula for, and hopefully over time we just get better and better at it.
Well, I'll tell you what, the one thing that I'm amazed at, and I know we were talking about our kids and stuff before we started the show, but one of the things that I'm amazed at is I'll look at and I'll watch my kids watching videos of other people playing games, and these people have like millions and millions of views and millions of followers, and they're monetizing YouTube, and they're like 11 years old and they're making good money. And I'm just like scratching my head, just like, are you kidding me? And so it's great that you're moving into that and that you're going into that side of it. 'Cause that's one of the things that just, you know, I kind of pay attention to the things that my kids are looking at and doing and kind of how they're going. So anyway, it's just interesting that's one of the things that you learned and added to your curriculum. I'm going to be really excited to kind of see the kind of stuff that they you know bring from it.
Yeah, and a lot of the things that I try to create are things where, hey, I don't know what's going to what they're going to be capable of, right? So it allows me to be excited too, because I get to sit back and let them run with something, right? So I don't like these cookie cutter assignments where everyone's got to get the same answer, where everyone needs to, come to the same conclusions, and the only conclusion you can come to is the professor's conclusion, right?
So, right, right.
You know, I like to try and think that we're a little bit more flexible than that. So, go ahead.
I was going to say that's how the real world works. I mean, you know, ask three SEOs or even digital marketers of any type the same question, you're always going to get the same answer. right? Isn't that how the real world works?
Are you okay this morning?
Depends on how much they're being paid.
Well, I was also going to add that last year at, I think it was Social Media World or somewhere, some conference, about eight to 10 months ago, the stat came out that by 2020, if not sooner, 80% of content produced for social media will be video.
Wow.
So think about that. Think about how much of Instagram, who you follow on Instagram, big and small companies, and even some of the personal brands, like I follow some of those YouTubers, everything they do is video.
Well, and in part, it's because the platforms themselves are pushing people towards video.
Correct.
Right?
Snapchat,
Instagram. I mean, I was reading stats about how long people are spending now just consuming stories, right? The real-time photo and video stuff that people are creating. And they kind of broke their algorithm for their regular feed just to move people toward creating stories content. That's my conspiracy theory, is they deliberately did that. But yeah, it's... And it kind of leaves all those people like me that have a junky phone camera behind. Right. I think they're being paid off by Apple and Samsung just to sell better phones too.
Probably, yeah. So one of the things, we've alluded to this a little bit, Scott, but one of the replies that you got from Elmer, and I'm just going to read it. It says, this was part two of his answer. Attitude is everything. Not only will you not know everything, but things change so fast that much of what is learned in school will change as soon as you walk across the stage and get your diploma. So be free to acknowledge that and keep learning. And so how do you get that across to your kids? And how do you also in your curriculum kind of, are you changing things up as you go? I know that you said like with the video, you just added it in last minute, but if something happens within the next like 2 months, is it something that you'll change, or like, how do you address that? 'Cause I think what he's talking about is, is pretty relevant.
Yeah, so I do that. I mean, it's completely relevant, right? I mean, relevancy is the name of the game when it comes to digital marketing. Is how do you know if you have the right accurate information? Something that was written in 2017 that you read might have ranked really well, and you saw it, but it's completely wrong now, right? And no one's there to correct the record. But I've got two different ways that I do this. So one is, so I teach two different classes. I basically teach like our intro to digital marketing class, and then I teach an advanced class that's just for the students that really want this as a career. Gotcha. And so in the beginner class, I would say half of our classes, I am starting class with news that is like day old news, right? Or same day news if I can. And so I'll talk about it. I will put up a couple of questions for them to think through, like some of the implications for the changes or the news. It could be some new product from Amazon, you know, some new technology. It could be a change in a social media network or an ad format, right? It could be any number of things that have maybe some big or even small implications, right? Students need to understand and be able to tell whether something is big news that has like industry-wide ramifications or something just small. So I start a lot of classes with just talking about what's new and then forcing them to write about it and think through it, and then we discuss it. And so that, I think that's a good way to kind of expose students for just how much is changing. And then once we get into advanced, that's where it's like, you know, I want them to have their own system, right? So on day, like starting today when I kick off class, so today is day one of our new semester, and starting today and then on Wednesday and in day two of class, one of the first things that I do is I teach them to set up their own learning system, right? So we figure out, okay, let's use some aggregators or tools that will bring news to you, because you need to be reading every day, right? You need to be at least checking in and dipping into the stream so that you know what is happening. And so for me, learning is like, man, there's no perfect learning system, right? There's no perfect way to stay on top of things. It's like I use a combination of apps and like email digests that aggregate things from sources I trust and Twitter. And so I really just kind of want to pass along that same mentality and skill to my students, where they have a system that works for them, and they know how to tweak it as they become interested in different specialties, right? So it's kind of helping take them to a level that's more self-driven, I hope. And I think it works out pretty well.
No, I like that. I think, you know, you hit something that I hadn't even thought of, and I think it's brilliant. Just the whole, you know, because we all do that, and I think sometimes we take it for granted, but you saying it out loud, you know, just the sources that you trust, the places that you go to for information. Because can you imagine someone that's, you know, 18, 19 years old saying, hey, I want to be an SEO, and they're going to go and look up SEO blog, or they're going to go do a search for something, and just like, I mean, I don't want to put a percentage out there because I don't know exactly what it is, but I'd be willing to bet that 99% of anything that they find is going to be garbage compared to just what we know and what we can direct them to. So having them research that out and use your guidance and helping them find those kind of resources is huge. And then having them pay attention to that, because they might come across something or they might take something in a different way than you do. And, you know, that we could all talk about conferences and how that works for us. I may sit in a session that I get an idea, take a golden nugget away that was completely different than the way that you took it or even the way Dave took it, but yet it works for how we're going to go and implement it with what we do. Does that make sense?
You know, it does, but I think there's a caveat to that, right? And that is that, you know, we who have been doing it for a while, we know who we trust. We know where the puzzle pieces fit, right? But I remember when I was learning SEO for the very first time, I knew absolutely nothing about it. And like the training that I got was like, oh, just read these blogs and follow these people, right? And that's I think a lot of how it's still being done is like, you know, learn by just jumping into it. And yet what I did instead, you know, I took that ride and I listened to it, but at the same time, what I did was I went home and I bought SEO for Dummies, and I read that every single night in my first 2 months on the job, and my wife, I even had my wife create quizzes for me on the material, right? And so it's like, and as a result, I had the foundation. I mean, who knows if it was perfectly accurate, but I at least had the foundation to where then I knew where every like blog post or random comment by some SEO expert, where that fits, right? I think that it's a bad thing if we just kind of say, oh yeah, you'll learn by jumping right into it. I think it's kind of like building a puzzle, and that's, you know, I always start by doing the outside edges first. And yeah, you know, then I can know where the puzzle pieces fit afterwards. But otherwise, you know, I think it's a slower way to learn if you just kind of expect that you're going to know where things fit without some foundation.
Well, and we're lucky nowadays because we do have so many more resources and great people and opportunities to learn from. Because, you know, I think back to 99, even 97, really, when I first started building websites. And the resources that were available or weren't available. And so my thoughts are at least now, you know, again, because, you know, that's one of the reasons why I'm just kind of, you know, in my brain, I got a million things that I'm thinking of right now and trying to say it's not coming out right. But I guess, you know, one of the reasons why Dave and I started this podcast even was because just that right there, what you were talking about, there's so much misinformation, there's so much bad information, or there's so much of,
well, it's the people that are looking for overload, right? It's like there's too much, and you don't know if you're getting something that's like new that you don't know already, or if it's just everyone saying the same thing, right?
Like, exactly. So Dave, Scott and I, we've been talking a little bit. Any thoughts on this right here?
Yeah. I was just reading the question, the full question again about what we were hiring. And I think, and I've had an intern junior before, and actually my oldest, when she graduated, she was kind of asking her mom and I some questions. And so I had actually just, and he's going to give me dirty looks if he hears this, but I had just saw Stephen Spencer, and he actually signed the Art of SEO book and gave it to me. It is currently with the daughter. Because he kept asking us questions, and I was like, here, read this book. Yep. And she goes, what part? I go, all of it.
All of it, yeah, it's a great book.
And in most states, that book could be considered a weapon because it's like 500 and 600 pages, and it's just this huge, massive book, and it's just SEO. So when Scott asks the question of, you know, if you want to be a digital marketer, whether it's a content marketer, whether it's a writer, whether it's a data analyst or a PPC, you know, person or an SEO person or somewhere in the middle doing, you know, crazy stuff with banner ads and programmatic, what do you need to know? It's like there's and I go back.
So Dave, you're leading on to a perfect segue into what I wanted to ask Scott, because, you know, we've been asking him a lot of questions and having him give his feedback and stuff. But the whole point of people coming to his class and going to school, they want to get the degree and then they want to get the job. And so maybe let's open it up to Scott, you know, for a minute. Sure. Ask us, like, you know, what questions do you have? You know, what are the questions that you have of us for these kids coming out and wanting to get hired by an agency like Avalanche Media or Northside Metrics with Dave?
Yeah, I've got some questions for you guys for sure. I did want to mention something that was related to what Dave was talking about. Just thinking through my own question, right? I mean, you notice I didn't ask about SEO specifically or some specialty, and maybe that's some indication that, you know, my thinking is moving a little bit more towards, you know, how do we prep a student to be a full stack marketer, right? I mean, because what I'm starting to hear from some executives is they don't want to think. I mean, they don't want to think in silos, right? And I think it's smart. You don't want to be someone who can't see a bigger picture than just your own little niche, right? But at the same time, we might be moving to a place in which, you know, even thinking about digital marketing and calling that its own thing is a silo in itself, right? That marketing is online, offline, cross channel. It's all customer experience, right? Wherever that touch point is, right? So it's thinking about, okay, so what does that mean for how we should be training, knowing that we can't turn kids into experts immediately. So where do we start, right? Is it in marketing fundamentals? Is that enough for them to make the leap into digital? Is it trying to get them to specialize in an area before they branch out, just knowing that they're going to be more valuable that way? Or is it trying to like train them in a more holistic way in a bunch of different things at once? So maybe that's a good question to start with, is like, what is most valuable? I mean, I know what the executives would say, but that might be different from what an actual business owner who's got to hire somebody new says they want to see. And judging by all of the job descriptions I am seeing, people are still really thinking in silos, right? Because that's how they know they've got a need to fill in the business.
Well, it's interesting that you talk about this, and we're having this conversation, because even in some internal emails, and I don't want to get into too much details, but just where one person has been hired on to do something, but they really like to do something else, and frustration grows because, you know, they want to expand their knowledge, or they feel, hey, this skill that I have could also help benefit, you know, team two or team three or whatever it might be. And so it's interesting that we're having this discussion, because even now, and again, you know, we're not perfect and we're always trying to become a better company, but this is something that we're even seeing right now that we're going through. And, you know, why do you hire just a PPC specialist? Why wouldn't you hire a PPC specialist that's also really good with SEO or video, or I don't know, you know what I'm saying?
Well, I think we saw some of those, especially during like recession years, is people looking for way too much, right? Budgets are lean. They want somebody who can do everything and not ask for a whole lot. And so, I mean, that's a fear I have, is that, you know, I say
Dave can tell you stories about that.
That are, you know, asking for way too much. So
New York City based SEO and PPC guru. Must have 2 to 3 years experience, 25 to 30K starting, benefits after 90 days.
You've been reading the same ones I have.
Yeah. Must work on site. Must
be available after hours.
PPC experience.
And in-house, right. And specialize in technology services. And
must work every holiday.
Yeah. That's right.
I think the executives, and I know we actually talked about this, are full of it when they say they want a generalist, because I've never seen an agency, at least agency wise, I've never seen an agency, and I've worked at some, where I was the SEO and literally we were going to do some small bidding. And as soon as the word bidding came up for some content marketing, we had to have a new SOW put in place so that the PPC team could manage that budget of literally $50 for a one-time campaign. I could not touch it. Jeez. Because I was the SEO.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So, and I am the SEO, and that's kind of why I actually left working for an agency, because I was tired of just doing that little job. I think specialists work at agencies. Generalists, you're going to be an in-house person to a point. You're going to be an in-house person at a small company where they need you to do everything. And as you grow up and go into a bigger company, you're going to have to be a specialist, because they will have a specialist to do each little thing. And the generalist will be nobody except upper management people, because they have to know a little bit about everything.
You know, also some other advice that I'd love to give them coming in is, just from what I've seen with the people that we hire, they come in, you know, for example, doing, you know, thinking that they're going to do a media, a PR type position, and then they end up taking on so much more that they love and that they're happy to do. And then after a year, the role completely evolves into something else where they're team leading or managing something else. And so I think it's important for those you know, those students of yours coming out of this to understand that, hey, coming into a position, you know, it's not going to pigeonhole them. It, you know, if anything, getting in the door with one of these skills and then being open, it's just like what we talked about from the beginning here, you know, evolving with you know, whether it started off as SEO, and then you've evolved into this whole digital marketing, online, offline, everything. It's all, you know what I'm saying? Let the roles evolve like that as well, Scott.
Well, I mean, and it's going back to what you said, there's sometimes a conflict internally with knowing whether you want someone to be happy with what you hired them to do and whether they've got maybe a skill set or interest that extends beyond their job description, right? I mean, everyone talks about, what was it, good to great or something? That's like, hey, get everybody on the bus and then figure out, get the right people on the bus, and then figure out where they want to go. I think there's sometimes a double standard for companies' willingness to do that with newer, you know, early career people.
Yeah, very good point.
So,
all right, well, we're getting close to the end of this podcast, so maybe just if you have a question, you know, maybe give Dave and I 1 minute each to answer it, and we'll wrap it up and go from there, Scott.
Sure. So I think maybe the question to ask is, what of the people that you've seen come on early, either right out of college or even as interns, things like that, what would be some of the specific things that they've had in their background or on their resume that have most impressed you or helped them stand out?
So I'll jump in and take this one first, because there's quite a few things on some of them. The ones that I have loved the best are the resumes, almost, that aren't resumes, but basically the guy that sends over the portfolio, the URL, the link that's all, hey, you're hiring for a video position. I'm just wrapping up school for this, or graphic design or whatever. Instead of, here's all my school experience and all my work and all my whatever, here's work that I've created. Here's videos that I've done. Here's, whether it be an explainer, whether it be funny, whether it be whatever, here is my work. And I love looking at those, and I love seeing, okay, this guy has a skill set that we could definitely integrate with us. Because a lot of times when you're reading over and you're glossing over education, I mean, and I'm not saying that that's not important, you know, knowing their background and that kind of stuff, but when they're coming to us with, hey, this is my skill and this is what I do, you know, we're able to look at it right away. We're a visual company. We're able to look and see, hey, this person is going to be a great fit, or, you know, this person is someone we at least want to bring in and see how they fit in with our company, you know, cultural wise and whatnot. So hopefully that answers your question.
Yeah, for sure. I mean, the tricky part is, you know, that maybe catering to a more visual type of or creative skilled employee, right? I mean, I'm thinking as I'm training my students, I know some of them are going to be visual. They're going to be able to create cool product type things that can be showcased in a portfolio, but others, I'm thinking,
And I see what you're getting at. And so I guess the answer to that would be more of those that are coming in with that drive, that are showing us, you know, what they're willing to do or what they're willing to learn for this company, or why they, you know, some of the creative ones is that I've loved is where I've seen something where people may not have like a really good visual asset or whatever, but they come to us and showing us, here is what I can bring to the table, and here's what I'm willing to learn, and here's what I already know. And so just maybe taking those few extra emails, or the few extra, hey, just, you know, the creative, and again, I'm drawing a blanket as to some of the specifics, but just there's ones that have stood out that have been where they've done something that's kind of set them over the top a little bit, that makes me at least want to bring them in.
And if I can add some spice to that, like my recommendation to companies who are hiring new graduates or looking at a bunch of resumes or bringing these new graduates in, is like, ask the question, you know, what on your resume is something that, you know, tell me what's on your resume that was not required by a college class. Right.
Oh, I like it. I like that a lot.
Because then you really get a sense to see, okay, how do these people actually have any hobbies? Are they thinking beyond what is just being handed to them? And I mean, it's kind of funny. I'm like trashing myself by saying that because I'm trying to do a whole lot to prep my students in these different skill areas. But I also know that, hey, I've got to push them off the ledge and see if they care enough to actually go do some stuff on their own time. Right.
Correct. Yeah.
Yep.
Very good. Dave.
So I think it was one of the answers, but in its, I've gone through the question before when I've been hiring developers. I self-taught Cold Fusion and I've self-taught. I'm a complete hack when it comes to PHP, but over the years I don't do it as much now. But at one point I could program some PHP beyond just WordPress. But I, you know, I taught myself all of that stuff and I didn't learn it in school. And I think as an SEO, you need to be a problem solver and you need to be constantly staying up to date. As a developer, constantly things are changing in PHP and, you know, from APIs, you know, at one point it was like, can you write SQL? Okay, yay, you know, go do this. Now you need to be able to work with APIs and, you know, can you set up a stack on AWS? Do you know how that works? If you're a PPC person or just a paid person, you know, we just had that talk with Kenny where it was like it used to just be AdWords and then Yahoo and Bing. And now it's, can you do bidding on LinkedIn, on Facebook, on Twitter? Can you adapt your skill set of creative ad targeting to all these other platforms?
Or even what you've done with us, Dave, with this podcast, like learning how to get us indexed on iTunes and Google Play. I mean, perfect another yeah. example of another.
It's just taking what I've done and learned in the past and applying it and fixing a problem. And so when I would interview people, I would say, okay, you know, what classes did you use? What did you learn? You know, what projects did you work on outside of class? And I've had people argue that you can't expect people to do stuff outside of work. I'm like, you kind of need to. I know lots of teachers and, you know, I always give them grief because they get the whole summer off, but how many have to go back for continued education, continued certification, continued everything? They're constantly doing stuff. You know, Scott just talked about it the first 5-10 minutes about how he basically has to, you know, change his class almost every semester, if not during the semester sometimes, probably.
Yeah.
And it's just that in the digital marketing, I think if you can show that you are curious, and even if it's just, you know, oh, I built this site for my mom. Oh, well, how'd you do it? Like, explain. I want to hear them thinking through and solving problems and figuring things out. And I know if you're a PPC person, that's harder, but it's like, what can you show me what you've done? Did you ever build something in Excel to make your life easier? Did you ever do, you know, something else? And if they can, I just want to see that they like to solve problems in whatever vertical, whatever subs, you know, specific kind of tool or whatever they're looking at. Can they think outside the box? Can they kind of think of ways to solve problems? Because if they can, whatever I throw that at them, whether it's, you know, here, we have to launch this microsite. Go figure out how to do it. They can figure out that, oh, we need to go get hosting. We need this. We need that. I need developers, you know, and they'll start asking these questions. For me, that's the biggest thing that I like to look for.
Awesome. Very good. Hopefully you got some good answers there. Scott, maybe kind of just wrap it up. Give us your last minute thoughts on this. And again, we appreciate you joining us on the show.
Hey, it's been good to be here. I just have a last couple of thoughts on, you know, what companies can be doing to maybe have better relationships with professors, get better products coming out of universities because they know that they need better people, right? One of the things that I love is when companies email me and say, "Hey, I'm looking for this type of person," or, you know, I've got this particular need. What do you guys have that might be useful? Sometimes it's a specific student. Last week, I had a company contact me because they're looking for a student who might have some interest in e-commerce. who wants to help with some of their marketing. And I just had a student who, you know, was talking to me about Shopify and how he wanted to build his own e-commerce site. And so I sent him over to that company. They talked, they had him write a blog post to see how good his writing skills were. He's got himself a new job, right? So, you know, awesome. Companies that contact me are great, because then I can see, is it an internship you need? Is it a student employee? Is it a consulting project that maybe our internal consultancy that the university has should be helping with? Is it a school project? So, you know, doing that, finding ways to, you know, bridge the gap and taking a little bit of control over the output that that maybe your local university is creating can go a long way, just towards making everything better. So I'd like to see more of that. I'd like to see more companies offering up their tools, like, you know, software and tools and access to data, offering those things up to students and college classes, doing internships. I mean, you mentioned Elmer. Elmer's at GTB. They do tour days where they invite people to just come and see what the company is like, and just get a sense so that students can understand what they might be That's getting. Great. So there are a bunch of things I'd like to see see companies doing to help with this education gap that I think exists.
I love that. And I appreciate your insights, all great stuff. And thank you again. And for those that have stuck with us this long, we normally don't do a podcast this long, but hopefully you found some value to it. And so again, for Scott Cowley, for Dave Rohr, I'm Matt Siltala, and we will catch you guys on the next podcast episode. Thanks, guys. Yes. Bye.